When we think of an asteroid, we typically think of a classical space rock, typically from the asteroid belt or some other remnant from the formation of the solar system falling to Earth. Sometimes this is in the form of the run-of-the-mill small meteorite one sees streaking across the sky as a fireball that someone finds fragments of, but also sometimes larger pieces that do damage, such as Tunguska, the Chelyabinsk meteorite, or the iron meteorite Sakodia-Lin that went off like a grenade over a mountain range in Russia, spewing iron everywhere in 1947. And then there are huge asteroids, such as that which at least contributed to the extinction of the dinosaurs 66 million years ago, during the End Cretaceous event. While the vast majority of meteorites can be classed and connected to asteroidal material, comets but less so, and there are some that can actually be linked to Mars, having been blasted off its surface, preserving both evidence of its volcanic geology, but even tiny pockets of the Martian atmosphere hidden within the meteorites that point to only one origin, Mars. This also works for the Moon. There are meteorites on Earth that have the Moon's chemistry and match no place else. But hidden within the overarching question of the asteroid population of the solar system are some very obscure anomalies that have arrived as meteorites in the past that don't quite fit any of the classifications or models. The most extreme is what appears to be an interstellar object, a subject of great interest as of late as the results from the Galileo Project's expedition to recover pieces of an interstellar meteor are awaited. An interstellar origin is not yet established for the samples, but we may already have one in our meteorite collections, and it's extremely weird. It's known as the Hypatius Stone, and was found in Egypt in 1996. It was originally about 30 grams, which is small, and is now down to about 4 grams after distribution of samples to various institutions. The stone was found in an unusual area of the Sahara Desert. This area is known for an impact glass, formed when a meteorite impact melts sand, known as Libyan Desert Glass. This material has been here for a long time. One piece of it was found carved and mounted in a pectoral in Tutankhamun's tomb. The stone was found in this area, and in fact very near to a piece of glass, though even that piece of glass was an outlier for its type. The two may be linked or not linked, it's uncertain. If they are, the stone fell about 28 million years ago as part of the impact. If not, it's much more recent as far as a fall goes. But its actual age before falling to Earth is enigmatic. The material is extremely primitive, to the point that it's generally agreed that it's the first sample we have of the nucleus of a comet. But we have other meteorites that are likely of cometary origin, but this one is very different from even those. It has very high levels of carbon, which can be expected for a comet, but very low levels of silicon for a solar system object. It's loaded with polyaromatic hydrocarbons, which are more associated with interstellar dust than something commonly found in the solar system at those levels. But not exclusively so. But here's where it gets really strange. It contains inclusions of metallic aluminum. On its own, aluminum. This is an unbelievably rare occurrence and almost never happens in the solar system, though there are very rare native aluminum occurrences on Earth in association with the mineral moissanite. And it doesn't stop there. Silver iodine phosphide, and indeed moissanite, were also found in really unusual forms in this meteorite. There are also grains composed of nickel and phosphorus in the meteorite with no iron, which again is unheard of for the solar system, and honestly unexpected for any star system. The best explanation for the Hypatius Stone is that it's a solar system rock, perhaps far outer solar system, that came into contact and incorporated pre-solar materials, or interstellar materials, into its matrix of unknown origin, formed through unknown processes. This is not unlike the controversial metallic spherules of weird makeup found by the Galileo Project's expedition. And it has to be said, other researchers in the past have advanced certain somewhat unlikely minerals in other meteorites as potential technosignatures, for lack of a known way they could form in nature, in the form of hyodite and bresonate, that might be iron-based superconductors. See a paper by BPM Bade in the description below. But that would require a lot of experiments and proving. But this is an unlikely scenario beyond that, since it would require materials from an alien civilization to have been ubiquitous enough in the Milky Way, at least 4.6 billion years ago, to find its way into random geology. But it does show that there are chemical processes going on in the galaxy that simply aren't happening here. On the other hand, given that Earth exists, It may be that there are organic chemical processes going on here, in other words biology, that isn't occurring in most other star systems. We could be weird in our own right, so why not other star systems? Life's chemistry is either rare or it isn't, after all. One last development regarding the Hypatia stone is that in 2022, further work showed evidence in the rock that it may be the first direct material evidence on Earth of a Type 1A supernova. But that's not settled, because while we know supernovae salt solar systems with materials, as happened here, actually pinning that down to a class is a different matter. I wish we had more than 30 grams of this stuff for analysis. But to show how weird meteorites can get, we can turn the tables. Another meteorite, this one from Northwest Africa, known as NWA-5400, bears chemical similarities, specifically oxygen isotope ratios, that look more like Earth and the Moon than the asteroid belt. But not exactly. There are a few possibilities to explain this, and the first is that it formed nearby in the solar nebula. The others are even odder. It's possible that it was a rock blasted off of proto-Earth, perhaps during the impact that formed the Moon or before, that wandered around for a long time before falling back to the modern Earth-Moon system. The other possibility is that it's a rock from Theia, the object that hit Earth and in a glancing blow tossed off the material that would coalesce into the Moon. This essentially means that out in the solar system and probably littering the surface of the Moon are at least a partial record of Earth's early history. If you can have ancient Moon and Mars rocks landing on Earth, you can have ancient Earth rocks landing on the Moon from impacts that could be in an extremely pristine state, far better than anything can be preserved down here on Earth. So you can even play with ideas that it's better to study the history of Earth by looking in space than it is down here where all the weathering, water, and so on destroy most of the geologic record. Indeed, even evidence of abiogenesis may be preserved in Earth rocks blasted into space, or even fossils. But the one thing that was lacking in this scenario was a meteorite that was originally from Earth and was blasted into space, only to return so we could study it. We seem to have exactly that now. Known as NWA-13188, a 600-gram rock was found in Morocco that is identical to volcanic rock formed here on Earth. It's an Earth rock, no question. And even bears evidence of plate tectonics, which only Earth does in the solar system. But it bears the telltale fusion crust of a meteorite, the burnt skin that results from entry into the atmosphere. Moreover, it bears isotopes that can only form when an object has been in space, and under cosmic ray bombardment for a significant amount of time. This is not seen with Earth rocks. The best fit for this situation is an Earth volcanic rock that was blasted into space, where it spent several thousand to 100,000 years floating around in space, only to fall back to Earth. The blowback on this discovery is sort of indicative of how things in science can sometimes get a little bit silly. There's ample evidence that this was an Earth rock blasted into space and fell back down. The laws of physics don't prohibit this, and it was something that was expected to be eventually found. But it got treated as an extraordinary claim that required extraordinary evidence, so came the extraordinary criticisms. The oddest one is that it can't be considered a meteorite at all. This is purely semantics, because had it fallen on Mars, it would be one. Only because it fell back to its parent body suggests that it's not. But for all intents and purposes, is because it's a space rock with a fusion crust. Another criticism is that there is no corresponding relatively fresh impact that could have thrown it into space, which means it is a meteorite from somewhere else. But an entire 31-kilometer impact structure was found under a glacier in Greenland that no one had any idea was there before 2018. It's likely not the culprit. That crater was initially suggested to be young, but appears old according to recent work. But it does show that Earth can still hide a large crater. What this meteorite fall does seem to indicate is that we now have some proof of concept of Earth rocks getting blasted off the surface of the planet and deposited elsewhere, or back here for that matter. This could mean any type of Earth rock. In this case, it was volcanic, but it's also possible for sedimentary rock to get blasted into space. A good example being the End Cretaceous impact, which would have blown all manner of material into space, including sedimentary deposits, but also the granite that underlies that part of the ocean floor. How much of that made it into space without becoming molten and dramatically changed is a bigger question. You'd imagine most of it would be impact melt and heavily altered, but some portion of it, maybe not. We are already familiar with the idea of panspermia, where biology can catch a ride inside a meteorite and potentially proliferate to other worlds. effectively planets sneezing bacteria on each other with their rocks. This is unproven. We also have had claims in the past of apparent fossils in Martian meteorites of such bacteria, though this too has never been proven. But the idea of deceased Earth life proliferating as fossils is not that far of a stretch. But there are further ideas here that have not been well considered as of yet. One of these could be called retropanspermia, where Earth life that gets blasted into space in a rock and then lands back on Earth and reproliferates, perhaps in an environment it was not originally native to, sort of like an invasive plant species that might do so if carried from one continent to another to become a weed. Such a retropanspermic organism would, after all, be returning to its home environment, just in a different area of the world. Who knows, could bacteria or even tardigrades expand to their domain in this way? There's no solid evidence of this ever having happened, but there's also never been any real search for it. And there is what could be called necropanspermia, where fossils transfer. This could even include such oddities as a dinosaur bone inside a rock landing on the moon, there to preserve indefinitely buried in the lunar soil. Alternatively, such a rock could wander the solar system indefinitely, land on Earth as a quasi-meteorite, and then one might see a sedimentary rock bearing fossils, but also bearing a meteoritic fusion crust. Perhaps more interesting would be early Earth material blown off during the late heavy bombardment, a period that is not at all well represented in the geologic record here on Earth. Little of that period remains down here, but all sorts of odd rocks from this period might still exist in space that could be recovered and studied, giving a clearer picture of Earth's formational history. Space could form a sort of extraterrestrial strata of sorts of blasted off Earth rocks. Our own technology certainly does. The stuff we've been blasting off this world for decades now is still out there, from a Tesla Roadster to all sorts of probes. And they, or at least parts of them, will last out there for a very long time. The same could be true for Venus and Mars as well. Their histories could be preserved in space as well, along with evidence of past interactions with water on the surfaces of those worlds, and even fossils in their own right. Though this is unlikely to be above the bacterial level. We've seen sedimentary rock on Mars, recently from orbit, but the rover Opportunity literally landed 10 feet from a sedimentary outcrop at Meridiani Planum on Mars. It found no fossil clams, and wasn't equipped to find evidence of bacteria, but it did find enigmatic hematite spheres that could only indicate heavy, long-term interaction in the area with liquid water across at least two periods. A climate perhaps just right for life. The discovery of NWA 13188 may be the tip of the iceberg of finding rare meteorites preserved from a period of history earlier than today that might be found on the surface of the Earth, Moon, and Mars. Maybe even further, it might be that in the far future, someone finds an Earth rock locked in the ice of Europa or sunk to the bottom of its ocean. A long shot, not just for the possibility, but the odds of finding it. But as they say, stranger things have happened, and we might even find that life on Europa, should it exist, is rather a cousin of life on Earth, having originally stemmed from it, perhaps proven by genetics or vice versa, suggesting that some unknown rock once transferred life across the solar system. But I leave you with an even more alien thought. If rocks can get blasted off Earth, can they be large? Yes. There could be asteroid-sized chunks of Earth floating out there. Can they land on other worlds? Yes, with luck and gravity. It is in principle possible that a few of the craters we see on the other planets of the solar system might be due to Earth-born asteroids from some point in the history of our world. Can an Earth rock get blasted off Earth and then subsequently be expelled from the solar system? That's a bit more of a physical challenge and may or may not be possible, but if it is and odds of trillions or more to one are overcome, could a piece of Earth have caused the extinction of a passing star system's analog of the dinosaurs? Almost certainly not, statistically speaking, but I think it's non-zero. It does, however, make me think that somewhere out there, Douglas Adams is smiling at the thought. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Gaudier. Currently sorry to bring it up again, but that video I made last month about getting hit by a meteorite is perhaps driven home by the idea that not only can you in principle be hit by a meteorite, but also a returning Earth rock acting like a meteorite, or a fossilized dinosaur bone that fell from space. The irony is too much, but I like it. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.